Chronicles now transmitting.
Welcome to the Tate Chronicles on Healthcare Now Radio. And now, here's your host, Jim Tate.
Good day, citizens of the free world, from border to border, coast to coast, and to all the ships at sea, I bring you a warm welcome. This is your correspondent, Jim Tate, and thank you for tuning in to the Tate Chronicles. Join me as we cut through the fog that exists at the leading edge of healthcare technology. I'm really pleased today. My guest is Michael Gleason. Michael's the Chief Innovation and Strategy Officer for Arcadia. Now, Arcadia is a healthcare data and software company that is focused on value-based managed services. Michael is responsible for Arcadia's overall product and services portfolio, and he has a detailed understanding of the nuances in integrating data and technology in a healthcare environment. So, Michael, welcome to the Tate Chronicles.
Hi there. Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to be here.
The term public health surveillance has been around really for decades. And in recent years, we've heard more and more of the phrase population health management. We've been hearing that with increasing frequency. And now we're somewhere in the midst of an unexpected COVID-19 pandemic, and those concepts are more real than ever. And so, I became very aware recently that Arcadia has joined with other private sector organizations to form the COVID-19 Healthcare Coalition. Could you tell us a little background about that COVID-19 Healthcare Coalition and what it's all about?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Healthcare Coalition was started, I believe, as an idea from Dr. John Halumka, who's now at the Mayo Clinic, as well as some colleagues at MITRE. And MITRE is supporting the program and providing a sort of a PMO over all these different activities. And they convened a coalition of, you know, the willing, if you will, or a coalition of private and some public and nonprofit organizations to be able to do what they could to support this pandemic in the very early days. So this got started, you know, I feel like within the week of the end of February, early March, where things started to seem clear that the country would be in some trouble related to COVID-19. They pulled together various different organizations under some really simple constructs. There was no contract or paperwork between any of these organizations. Everything that was being done through these organizations would be available for free and for use across the country. And we wanted to move fast and quickly to support a better outcome as we migrated through this pandemic. It started, you know, maybe 10, 50 people and organizations, and has since, you know, sort of blossomed really nicely, and is now, you know, much larger and providing and contributing significantly across a number of different areas.
You know,
it's been really interesting to be a part of, and I think Arcadia's component within this particular, or what Arcadia has been interested in so far to date, has been making sure that we're as educated as possible to what's going on, so that we can help our customers and the population that of patients that our customers service, as well as for us, which became really clear early, is that in the near term, the pandemic management was all about, you know, protective equipment and ventilators, and we're really pivoting ourselves more towards the long tail of this pandemic. How do we deal with, you know, the what's happening to the population as a whole as healthcare has been reduced, and the ability for you to go see your doctor for other needed medications or visits has gone down. What happens to that population in the sort of quote unquote recovery around this pandemic?
You know, it's fascinating, Michael. You referenced the long tail, and we'll get to that tail in a minute. We don't know how long it is, but it's going to be a long tail.
Right.
We heard rumors and information kind of coming in over the transom in January, and became more frequent in February. And then I really do remember that period of time. It's probably, maybe the second week of March, where all of a sudden, it seems like a tipping point was reached, and everybody from politicians to, you know, everybody across the board said, there's a big wave coming, and there's no doubt it's coming. And that was the week that schools were closed, and the NBA and a lot of sporting events were closed,
exactly,
universities
right.
were closed. I mean, it was just amazing to see that. The fact that all these different organizations, you kind of mentioned them, there's private companies, there's universities, there's scientists, public health experts, all come together with really no 18 months to plan of how to come together. It seemed like it was a very organic process. And how did that happen? What was the initial clarion call of people started talking, saying we've got to share all this information? I'm just fascinated by that part. How'd that happen?
Yeah, I can speak from my experience, but you know, I think it's just my own, which is that it seemed to almost be a phone tree, if you will. Right? There was you know, one person got connected with another, and then you know these initial phone calls, you probably could have you know, conference that everyone in on your cell phone, and then they became bigger calls, and then they needed to move to webinars because there was hundreds of people on them versus, you know, 10 to 50. And I think as people became aware of the opportunity to collaborate, to learn from each other, and to really move as quickly as possible, more and more people joined up as they got interested, and more companies did. And I think the contributors that are, you know, a number of companies are participating publicly, as Arcadia is, but there's more that are participating privately for whatever reason, and want to keep it a little bit more quiet as to their involvement in there. And it's just been really great to be a part of it, and to see the collaboration and the speed at which, you know, we can move when as a country or as a collective, when you know, the bureaucracy and people's concerns about their own opportunity to make money on something or whatnot is out the
sure.
window. It's really nice.
The idea of those folks coming together. And so I'm sure your background with data, all the anecdotal information, the analysis of data to come up with best practices for response and the changing models of response. How is that information being put to good use? How's the coalition publicizing or promoting that? Now, I know in the case of Arcadia, I was at your website today, seeing, and that's Arcadia, ARCADIA.io, Arcadia.io. There's some amazing graphical representation there. I think it's called the Daily Case Tracker. It shows where we are in the spread. And so, you know, so that's certainly one thing, is to present data in such a way that we have a sense of where we are in the wave. But how is this other information being distributed? That's these best practices or just knowledge. How's that being disseminated?
Yeah, great question. So they do a weekly call, which has been really, really valuable. They also have a Slack channel and a Microsoft Teams channel. Why we have both, I don't know. Where you know, various different work groups have gotten together to work through particular challenges and share information across those mediums. And then there is a publicly available resource library that's available at c19hcc.org/resource-library. And almost everything that's been created gets published and shared there for you know, for other researchers and the public in general to take advantage of.
I'd like to turn really now to the specific response by Arcadia to leverage their knowledge and data and systems, and how healthcare systems are using your technology specific to certain areas like patient stratification, outreach, and symptom checking, triage, identifying the most at-risk populations. Those, you know, research analytics. What are you doing at Arcadia specifically to those kind of aspects of COVID-19?
Yeah, great question. That's really been, you know, sort of the core of our focuses on this has been with our customers and health systems. We have our customer base is sort of leans towards large-scale health systems, either national health systems or big, prominent regional academic medical centers and other health systems. We have about 93 million patients that we cover through those health systems. and therefore have a really nice segment of the population that we can use for data analysis, and we can use to support the kinds of initiatives that our customers are engaging their populations around. We've broken up our initiatives into sort of two phases. The first phase was a more immediate response that has been ongoing now for about 6 weeks or so. That was around engaging with their patient population, understanding what patients may be vulnerable or need help, and I will get into that in just a minute. And then the second phase is a phase that's coming for us, which is around this recovery I was talking about, which is how do we make sure that all of the other activities that usually happen in a given month or a given quarter around supporting chronic conditions or supporting general healthcare, what's going to happen with those, and how do we best manage those so that we can limit the residual impact financially to these health systems, but also to their patients from this pandemic. On that first phase, that's been, as I mentioned, been sort of launched early, and we've been supporting our customers now for the past 6 weeks or so. That has been first and foremost around trying to stratify their populations into a number of different segments. As we've learned more information around what drives for worse outcomes if you get the coronavirus, we have used that to structure sort of high risk cohorts of patients that need particular kinds of engagement. We have aligned those with other kinds of diagnoses or conditions that patients have, so that we also can make sure that those regular chronic conditions that need management are tracked. Those all get structured into various cohorts, and then those cohorts get sort of automatically moved through various swim lanes, if you will, depending on the kind of actions that we and our customers have agreed to. Some of those patients get an initial screening or information about local testing capabilities, where they can go through a drive-in test, for example. That was very important as those came online. As antibody screenings are available, there's similar messaging that we'll be sending around that. There for patients that are at risk or possibly were diagnosed and sent home, there are regular screeners that we interact with those patients so that we can get information about the patient through an easy to capture self-reporting mechanism that's delivered via text message. And then for the other population, even now, we help the care managers at our customers focus in on which patients might have the most medical vulnerabilities, or also importantly, mental vulnerabilities that need particular engagement or focus because they're staying at home, or they have conditions that need regular medication or some sort of regular intervention that may not be available because of the pandemic. And in that situation, those patients are typically shepherded through a standard care management processes with slightly adjusted assessments and sort of engagement protocols for those patients for the care managers because of the way the pandemic works. So it's been sort of that first phase and has been really really successful. We believe it's helped patients, it's helped our customers sort of strategize and put a framework in place for how to manage their populations during the pandemic. And I think it's made a real difference.
One thing that has been, I guess, difficult for really citizens of the world is the need for clarification and guidance when there's not enough information, there's not enough data. We were not deep enough into this to know what was going to happen next, and that continues. One example I'll give is we're recording this in the first week of May. Through March and April, we kept hearing about, a peak is coming, a peak is coming. That kind of led to a belief system that it'd be like climbing a mountain. You go up to a peak and then you come down. What we actually found out in most cases is there's a high plateau, and you don't go straight up and come straight down. And so then a different set of planning has to be put in place, because what we need to do at a plateau is actually more confusing than anything else. I think possibly 3 or 4 weeks ago, there was less confusion because everybody knew stay at home, look out, here comes the wave. And now people are not sure where we are. You mentioned the long tail. We don't know where we are in the tail of this. But
That's absolutely right.
So, you know, providing any clarification or guidance through the healthcare coalition, I'm sure what's important changes from week to week about depending on which way this virus is zigging or zagging, because it's not here today and then slowly going away.
Right. I don't have any specific guidance that has come from the healthcare coalition on this particular topic. Yeah. Though I have personally noticed the same items that you have. It does seem to be here for the long haul, and it is a very different engagement model to deal with a wave and plan for a short period of time where you need to do something and bunker down versus, you know, having to do that for 6 months, a year, or longer.
Yeah, and the wave doesn't appear to recede as fast as it came in. That's becoming more and more obvious. 6 or 8 weeks ago, we didn't. There certainly wasn't much understanding that it would be like that. Even as recently as a few weeks ago, it looked like there'd be a peak and then a pullback, and then maybe it'd come back in the fall. Well, you know, the valley in between those two waves that we are supposedly entering now, it's like we're looking through a glass darkly. We're not really sure where we are in this trajectory. We're not. The ability of organizations like the COVID-19 Healthcare Coalition to at least analyze what's in front of us right now and give best case information is critical. You know, I'll go back to one other thing. I remember very early on, maybe it was in January or February, World Health Organization said the only time you need a mask is if you are taking care of somebody who had COVID-19. Well, that was based on the best evidence at the time. That turned out, as we learned more about the virus, that was not the best information. So it's just trying to have the most clear view of the data that's in front of us and being up to date on that data. You know, I know Johns Hopkins has a great data model of hospitalizations and fatalities, and as well as I mentioned, the ones at Arcadia.io. And I'm curious about that. Where do you get the data that's represented in those graphs? I believe they're updated every day at your website. Where's that data come from?
Yeah, they are. They're pulled from a publicly available data source. They may actually be pulled from a similar place that the Johns Hopkins data source is sourced from.
And that's
so there's a number of places that serve that up for you.
You know, another thing that shows that we're in some sense we're flying a little bit blind. Yeah, we know what we know. But just in the last few weeks, has it become obvious that a lot of the fatalities are probably being underreported? So, again, all we can do is look at the data that's in front of us and how it's being reported.
That's exactly right.
You know, not just even talking about our economy as a whole, or what the future is going to look like. Healthcare delivery in the U.S. is really going to change, or is changing, and has changed as a result of COVID-19. Such things as telehealth, that's not new technology. That's been around for a while. All of a sudden, people don't want to come to the office, or you don't want to see people at the office. And CMS and third-party insurers allow billing at the same level through telehealth as a office encounter. And so we've suddenly seen a gigantic acceptance of that. What ways do you see Arcadia is preparing to meet the new and next demands as healthcare delivery changes because of this virus? Please see him.
Yeah, no, that's a really, really good question. One has been, you know, you mentioned telehealth. We're supporting our customers as much as possible and helping them manage which visits are well suited for telehealth and which are not. We're not a telehealth provider, but we can help navigate through the analytics that we provide to our customers, that process, and communicate with patients on our customers' behalf with an understanding of what's available to them. And we're excited to see that available, both from an opportunity to engage with medically and mentally vulnerable populations that need support during this time, but also if it can stick around, it will help those in value-based contracts, which, as you mentioned at the opener, is the core part of our business today, better engage with those populations and better manage and understand the risks of those populations. Because there are times when it's hard to get a patient to come in for a visit, and there's some nuances to the way contracts work, where patients have had to come in for a visit to get their risk fully or appropriately understood, and or a doctor has had to go to the home, which is expensive, but if that can be done via a visit, a telehealth visit, I think we'll see those that are in value-based contracts have a better understanding of the risk of their populations, which will be really helpful as they try to manage those and get appropriately compensated for those populations. So there's a big component there around how we're supporting our customers as we go through that. There is a concept around deferred care. So what deferred care is going to have the most impact on the outcome for the patient. So if you had regular visits or regular activity that was scheduled and that's being put off, what's the impact of that deferred care on your health? If you had any elective surgeries, do those begin to become not elective at some point? And is there engagement that's required there? So this concept of deferred health and how that deferred care and how the deferring of care over this pandemic is going to impact patients is really important to us, partially because by better understanding that, you can understand how to get appointment volume back to these clinics and health systems, which has fallen, you know, depending regionally on where you are, it's fallen 80%, it's fallen 50%, it's fallen 30%. This pandemic currently is very regional and you know, has a much bigger effect in the Northeast than there, you know, maybe in the Mountain West or something like that. But there is a need regardless to figure out who needs care, because the amount of, you know, if the amount of healthcare capacity is a one, and that's usually hovering around, you know, 95, 105% or whatever, and then you drop that down for 3-4 months to 50% or lower, all that capacity has to come back, or likely to come back, and there's not necessarily going to be enough capacity in the system to support it, and therefore we're going to have to figure out which patients require a visit sooner and which patients can be pushed off for some time. So that focus on what happens to care and how to drive appropriate appointment volume recovery and figure out which patients are going to be the most needed for the system during that time is really important to us. And that's that second phase that I was talking about. And then in addition, there is, as you've likely noticed, there has been a number of either furloughs or staff reductions for health systems, which has been, I think initially was an unexpected consequence of this pandemic and really unfortunate. But many of those were supporting ambulatory systems or were supporting pop health activities. And we want to be able to support the health system with technology so that as those resources come back, they can focus on patients and not necessarily focus on, you know, gathering information or doing all that other stuff that can often drive the high administrative costs within healthcare. I mentioned the focus on getting quality and risk through remote care delivery or telehealth visits. That's a big focus to helping both understanding the risk of patients, making sure that they're in compliance with various different contracts and quality measures, but also to support the financial health of the system that's supporting that patient population during this time as well. And then lastly, that screening capability and the automated outreach to patients that we talked about in phase one gets pivoted to extending the care team and enabling more output per care manager by automating and gathering certain activities and information from patients that would have otherwise gone to a phone call. So if I can send you a text message and ask you if you have any issues with transportation to a visit, any issues with food insecurity, and I can get that information back via text message, that saves me a phone call from having to do that. And then I can focus those phone calls on the patients that actually need help instead of just data gathering. So those are the high level items that we're focused on in that next phase of of our work.
Well, thank you so much for detailing those, Michael. And unbelievably, we've run out of time. It's just whizzed by here.
It did indeed.
Yeah, it sure did. Thanks to our audience for joining me on this episode of the Tate Chronicles. I offer a special salute to my guest today, Michael Gleason of Arcadia. Michael, thanks for coming aboard today.
It's my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
And again, if you want to find out more about Arcadia, ARCADIA.IO, Arcadia.IO, and that COVID-19 Healthcare Coalition. You can find that at C as in Carol, C19HCC.org. You can find more information on this show's program page at healthcarenowradio.com. Until we meet again, here's wishing you smooth sailing and safe harbors.
Tate Chronicles transmission ending now.